So yeah, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, if you have, if you're a new convert here, or if in the last year or so you accepted the Lord and just never got in a group for a foundation, we'd love to start that journey with you. For the next 6 weeks, we'll be meeting from 5 to 6:30. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Now, I want you to take a look at a picture that is a picture of living in the South. This is in the South. But you really, I need to read the caption to you for you to understand totally. A funeral procession pulls up in Presley Cemetery. Several carloads of family members are followed by a black truck towing a boat and a coffin in it. The passerby remarked, "That guy really must have been an avid fisherman." The response was, "Oh, he still is," remarked one of the mourners. "As a matter of fact, he's headed off to the lake as soon as he buries his wife." I know that's bad. I know that's bad. I know it's terrible. So don't send me any notes. I know it's bad. I know it is. But it is funny. By the way, bad. By the way, if the Lord touched you during that our time, send us a note, either in the email or go online somehow and communicate with us, because I really believe times like that is when God does special things and people have breakthroughs. But just be aware that when you walk out of here, if God touched you, you take it with you, because when you walk out of that door, the enemy's going to try to get you to believe it didn't happen. And so just walk it through in faith and go ahead and communicate to us. We'd like to know about it. We've been talking about, in lieu of the anniversary coming up, 30-year anniversary, some of the basic core values God built into Cathedral when we started some 30 years ago. And we started off, and still on the day will be the last installment in that part of it, and that is that lost people are people who, far from God, matter a whole lot to him. And that came out of a whole journey that I had been in for a number of years where I didn't see much activity around people coming to Christ. It was all about the already convinced. It was all about their agenda, church. It was church. And the whole world, I felt like, you know, and God kind of opened my eyes. It was going to hell, kind of in a handbasket, and the church was meeting like a club and really didn't care. And had become detached from it. I mean, it was like there's a big distance between where people lived and the church. And so by the time the Lord sent us here to start Cathedral, it was such a passion inside of me that we would never be inward, turned to a church that was inward. That we always would be sensitive to and have a sense of people who were coming to Christ and needed to come to Christ. After all, one of the main objectives of when our full run is over, how he described us as mature people, as people who were Christ-like, he described us as fishermen. He described our agenda is to catch other people. And so the week before last, I talked about this whole concept of the woman at the well, and so I haven't been able to get away from that, so I want to jump back into that again. And let's look at John chapter 4. And beginning in verse 3, Jesus left Judea and returned to Galilee. And he had, now look at that, say it with me, and he had to go through Samaria on the way. And there's a reason for that. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his long walk and sat wearily beside the well about afternoon. Soon the Samaritan woman came and drew water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." Now, the very first point I want to give you is this, is that I want all of us to make a covenant that we're going to trust God and believe God to lead us. If his agenda is that we become fishermen, then I think he wants to make and arrange for that to happen. See, in the heart of every person, because I think we've been made in the image of God, I think we want to do something great. I think we want to be men and women of influence. I think we want our life to matter for something. I think there's something more than getting up and going to work and just going through the daily stuff. There's purpose and there's meaning in life. And I think part of that is because we're made in the image of God Almighty. And so there's something inside of us that want to make a difference. We want something to happen. I mean, how many of you want to be used by God? You know the greatest way you could be used by God? The greatest way you could be used by God is God to use you to influence somebody that's on their way to hell to spend eternity in heaven. It's the greatest. I mean, just think about it. How many of you were here last week and heard Eddie and talk? Wasn't that a great, great message? But now think about it this way with me. Now, you have Eddie who's working at a shipyard, and a guy shares Christ with him. He accepts Christ, comes home, and a short time later, got a friend named Misty, shares Christ with her, and now both of them are saved. Now, watch this with me. If you consider their life like a stream, how many lives has their stream gone through and impacted since he accepted Christ, since she accepted Christ? How many times has Misty sang on this stage or sang at a funeral or sang at a wedding, and God used her voice to minister to people, to help them, to encourage them, to deliver them? How many hundreds, are you with me? How many thousands? Now, when they accepted Christ, and now that runs on, and friends, just from two people, how many hundreds or thousands of lives are affected? You see it with me? And that goes back to one person. So that one person now has now gotten infected thousands of people. Now, I want you to run that generationally after they're dead and gone. And now the people and their kids are living. Because, see, all that's happening right now in this church came from 12 people. Every bit of it goes back to 12 people. And so now you talk about getting a ripple effect. That's the reason why the enemy works overtime for you to do everything else in the church, do anything, use your gifts, serve, do whatever you want to do. But do not share your faith. I mean, it just creates a big why. Because that your story, friends, is the most powerful thing you have. And your testimony will overcome the enemy. So I think it's a desire in every one of us. So I want you to look at three pictures here because I want to set this up with you. This Samaritan woman, here's how it goes. This picture of Jesus. How many of you are Christians? Let me see your hand. You're Christ followers. Let me see. Okay, now watch this with me. Is Christ inside of you, yes or no? This same Christ that we read about in the Bible is inside of you. He lives there, yes? Yes. There's one inside of you who promised, I will make you fishermen. He's inside of you, yes? Yes? All right, the same one who said, I must need to go through Samaria. See, he's here. Why? He must go through Samaria. Why? Because there's a woman who's on the way there as well. And he must go through because now there must be an encounter because God has arranged it. Now, we read about this in John 4, where that happened. And now Jesus is in you. Do you think he stopped doing that? Do you think he's quit with the Samaritan women? Now it's the Goose Creek women. Now it's the North Charleston. Yeah, now it's Somerville. Do you think he's up to the same thing he was in Bible times? Yes, except he's not here in person, but he's in you. And now he's got to get you to the well. But see, what we have here in this story, friends, is how the master did it. Now we can watch. Mike, how do you do this? Well, I mean, and by the way, I never liked how people showed me how to witness growing up. I just never liked it. I mean, I don't think any of them could ever lead me to the Lord how they did it. You know? I think I said, get out of my face. So I am not talking about crazy kind of religious stuff. I'm talking about a relationship with God with a caring heart that lets you be led by God for an open door to share your story. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you remember Eddie had a scripture out of Psalms 139 last week that all the days are ordained and they're written in a book before one of them came to be. Yes? So if this was back in those days, then the day we'd be at the Samaritan well was already written in a book. Yes, are you with me? So now God can look for the rest of your life and there's time and places that you've got to be there. The question is how do he get you there? How do he get you there? I was just reading scripture the other morning last week in the morning, and I was reading John 3:8, and it really interests me because I never saw it quite like this. It says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell from where it comes and where it's going." Now, I always took that kind of mean. That's how the Spirit works. You know, the Spirit's doing stuff, and you don't know where exactly what He's doing, but you see it after it works, but you can't know what it's doing. And then I read the last part of the verse, and it says this, "So is everyone who is born in the Spirit." What do you mean? Everyone who's born in the Spirit, and go back and read it, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." How many of you had those times where God's prompting you and leading you, and you weren't sure why you were to do something? You weren't sure exactly why they felt this, but you felt it. You didn't know. And that was God's walking by and the breeze of His Spirit trying to lead you. And it was interesting because the hurricane, we had some damage to our roof and in our bedroom and bathroom. It leaked. And they were fixing the roof and inside of it fixed. And our bedroom, which we had to move upstairs, and our bedroom had a mirror right here, and they put a piece of plastic over the mirror and to cover it up from when it was standing in the ceiling to get all the dust away. And so I came down that first morning, and so my bathroom is right around this and right around here. And so I'm coming, and I'm walking, and so I'm going to go to the bathroom going, now, I just read that scripture a few days before that, and I'm thinking about it. The wind blows, and you don't know. And I thought, wow, how many times is like God has walked by, and the Spirit's walked by, and you felt that breeze, or you just heard something. You weren't clear, but it was like a rustling. It was in a bush, so something as a presence came by. And I thought, that is how every believer should be that way, shouldn't it? You would pass by and say, "Come on, I got an appointment for you." And you wouldn't quite know. You would, and then you'd say, "Okay, lead on. I'm on alert now because the Spirit is leading, and I'm not sure where it's going, but I'm sure He's up to something." And so I'm just thinking about this, pondering, because I've never seen that believers are to be that way. Somehow I just thought it was a spirit. Now, how many of you know that you can organize God right out of your life? How many of you know that you can busy God right out of your life? And it takes this willingness to respond in order to catch those times. And a couple days go by, and it's Wednesday. And Glenn Anderson, who's the pastor at Forest Drive Baptist Church, where Dean and I were before we came here, Glenn and his wife are in a nursing home there in Columbia. And Glenn's 87 now, and he's in a chair, and he can't have people to help him. But he's been my mentor and the guy who sent us here to plant this church. And so for these years, and he was on our board of trustees until he got too old to be on there, and now his son is taking his place. And so I just want to honor Glenn because I love him, but I want to honor him because of what he's meant to me for all these years. And so I stay in touch with him, and I go visit him, and you know, just honor the man that God used in my life. And so I've talked to him on the phone about every week or so, and he's been after me to come up and see him again. "When are you gonna come see me again, Mike?" So a few weeks called him and said, "I thought you said you're gonna come." I'm coming. And so Wednesday, I'm looking at my schedule, and I saw at the end of the day that I had an hour or so at the end of the day, and I thought, before the night, I can run to Columbia and see him. And so I get in the car, and I head to Columbia, and I'm visiting with him. And as I'm visiting with him, I get his phone call. And the phone rings, and I look, and it's an 803 number. And so I don't have a name, so I don't know who that is, and so I just put it up. Went ahead with my visit with him. And then after the visit, I was getting ready to leave, and I pull my phone out and check it, and you know how they'll leave a message, and then they'll have the transcript out. And so I'm looking at the transcript, and it says, "Mike, this is Eddie Ball." Now, Eddie Ball was an elder when I was at Forest Drive in Columbia over 30 years ago now. And I hadn't seen Eddie probably in 20, 25 years. I don't even know when the last time I've seen him. And so he sent me a note. He says, I just wanted to let you know that Robbie Phillips, one of the pastoral staff you served with while you were here, has had a stroke and is in Lexington Hospital and has not been non-responsive since Sunday. And so I picked up the phone, I called, I said, Eddie. He says, oh, Mike, I said, I just thought you might want to know. I said, Eddie, you won't believe this. You know where I am? He said, no. I said, I'm in Columbia. I'm right down the street from where you are. He said, well, I'm at the hospital now. I said, can I come see? I said, sure. I said, Betty, the wife of Robbie, is here and his kids. So I went up to Lexington Hospital, and I visited with him and prayed with him. And I got a message last night in the middle of the night that he had gone on to be with the Lord. But I was on the way home, driving home. And it was only then that I started connecting the dots from a day just sitting down having a Bible reading, just sitting down there, walking nonchalant to my, God, you still there? There he goes. It's a bad day when you want to show up and he doesn't, and particularly in the illustration. And so I'm driving back, and so I thought, what are you saying? That every believer has to be like that and has to have those moments in their life, because that's how he moves, to catch those moments, to get me to a place in Columbia that I would never have been, to get a phone call on the day I hadn't gotten in 20, talked to a guy in 25 years, to be there with the family, the hospital. Oh, well, that's what you're saying with this whole thing. That there's places and people, if we would just alert ourselves. And friends, I mean, it's. The second point is this: is sometimes your state of being will be a setup for God. Now, what I'm saying there is that the state of being is that you remember the Bible says Jesus was weary. He was weary, and he went to the well, and he sat down because he was tired. All of that was because there was somebody else that was weary and tired in a spiritual way that was going to show up at the well. He thought he was there for water, but God said, there's a divine appointment I have for you. When do you think Jesus caught on that something was up? You think he knew it when he said, I must need to go through Samaria? You think after he got to the well, he may have known it? He sat down. Let me ask you this. The gathering point for people around a societal thing as such as a well is a good place to meet people that you have a divine appointment with. You thought you just went for a doctor's appointment, but you met somebody in the doctor's office. If you heard, everybody's got to get gas, just a gas station. Everybody's got to eat, just a restaurant. All those places, folks, for being gathered, you will have people that God will have a divine appointment set. And the Jesus in you, just like the Samaritan will want to connect with them. They're there. You, my friends, Christ in you is the hope of glory. The next thing, third thing, let me tell you, is that... You have to talk. You got to talk. I've never known anybody to know about Jesus by osmosis or got saved with their eyes. I mean, Romans says, how would they know unless they've been told? And so you got to talk. Well, Mike, I hate this. But, well, you don't have to bark. When I say talk, I'm talking about starting a conversation. And then just like that, the conversation will be just like this. You don't know where it's going, but you just let God lead, and you start it. One of the places that I'm working at now is a restaurant with a gal who serves me there. And she don't know that I'm working her, by the way. And so, but I am. And, you know, the last question I ask her, because she's been a little tough. And the last time I was there, and she brought me some coffee, and I said to her, let me ask you a question. I said, if you were writing a book, give me some of the chapter titles. She thought, wow. She said, you know, you're not the first one that said I should write a book. She said, let me think about it. So she thought about it. In a few moments, she came back around. She said, one of the chapters would be about relationships, how they don't work. And I thought to myself, thank you. I'll just tuck that in there. And just see when and where, if the Lord used it. Because now I got a little more. And so I paid my bill and left. That's the end of the day. Don't even know where it will go or what completion will look like. Somebody else may go and get the harvest. I may just be somebody that plants a seed and water it. You know, all we do is responsible. But now, at least I've got it on its own track now. It's moving and somewhere. But you got to talk. Just talk. Jesus said this. I mean, isn't this profound and spiritual? I said, could I have a cup of coffee? I was being like Jesus, except all he wanted was water. He said, give me a drink of water. See? I mean, that's real spiritual, isn't it? Give me a drink of water. It's conversation. The ball's rolling. You never get any feedback unless you start it off somewhere. You know, how are you doing? Well, Mike, I just can't talk to people. People won't talk to me. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. Right now, in this congregation, if everybody's here, I can talk to anybody that's here. I know some of you thought, you ain't talking to me. Oh, I could. Yeah, I could. Unless I told you that. Now you're resisting me. But before that, I could. And you know all I'd have to do? Because there's one key component. You have to know the communication and love language for every person. And I know it. I do. I know it. You know what it is? It's themselves. Yeah. All you got to do is talk. Dan, how you doing? Doing great. How's your feet?
Still attached?
You got a little neuropathy thing going on there? Got some stuff, yeah? Is it feeling any better these days?
Still fighting the battle?
Mm-hmm. Got any luck with the doctor? Any more suggestions?
Acupuncture now.
Okay, sure. I hate that for you, Dan. All right, Dan, quit talking now. Hush, Dan, I'm through. Hush, I don't want to talk about your feet anymore. I'm done. See, the thing is, you get them started, you can't hardly get them shut up. Everybody will talk about what they like and they love. They'll talk about themselves. I mean, you want to talk to me? Ask me about my grandkids. Oh, you know, my grandkids? You want? If I'd have thought about it, I'd have had pictures on the screen just for that point right now. Oh, yeah, they'll talk. People will talk about themselves. And so you ask them, and you get this engagement going about. You can talk to anybody that can do it. Now, what did Jesus talk? Now, he's our master. Now, watch this. He's walking, a lady he never met, and he's walking her down this pathway. So let's learn, all right? Heads up, let's learn. What did he talk about? He talked about living water. He talked about living, well, Mike, what's living water? He's talking about satisfaction level, things that satisfy. It's a wonderful thing to talk about. You know, when everybody wants peace. Everybody wants joy. How satisfied are you in life? I mean, people will talk about stuff like that. You just ask them, how's it going? I mean, if I ask you right now, sir, what's your joy meter these days? You know? Your joy meter, yeah. I mean, is it? Is, huh? Okay. Pretty good, huh? Use them a little more. That's not threatening. That's not indicting. That's not condemning. How many of you in here, your joy meter could use a little more? See, that's just conversation. That's just letting you know, what's your satisfaction level? Jesus said, you're thirsty. And I'm just leading you a little bit so you experience your thirst. So when I give you the answer, you'll be ready. Every person wants contentment. You know, thirst. Now, let me give you the definition of thirst. Thirst is the God-given vacuum that's in every person. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every person, and every person is never satisfied until they get that God-shaped vacuum met. You and I know that. They may cover it up, they may deaden it, but they are hungry for it. And that is the thirst factor. They're thirsty for that God-shaped vacuum. And so you can talk about things that God's done in your life in a descriptive way. You don't even have to lay it. I encourage you to stay away from religious jargon. Just say things like this. Anybody here was ever on drugs or alcohol and God come helped you? Huh? All right, your story is, you know, I used to drink too much. I used to, you know, smoke too much. I used to do something. I don't anymore. And I'm wondering why, but you're not telling me. And then you go on, you say, you know, and I was lonely, but I'm not anymore. You know, I had unforgiveness. I was bitter. I was in bondage or something, but I'm not anymore. Why? Why? Tell me why. You remember John Maxwell? You're not ready. Tell me why. Well, honestly, I am not trying to be religious with you at all. I don't want to do that. I'm telling you honest to God truth. I met somebody and he changed my life. I'm being dead honest with you. Let me tell you what I know. I know that I was thirsty in life and he quenched my thirst. I just know that. And I know he'll do it for anybody who wants that to happen. It's your story. My dad, he's passed away now, but he used to always cut food and he'd tell the story. He grew up in Conway, which is Horry County. He always told the story. He said the day he got saved, they laid off 3 policemen in Conway. I don't think it's true. I mean, I think they may have laid off 4, but I don't know. But it's his story. It's just a way to communicate. You know, I was there. And so you talk about your relationship with God and talk about just not about stuff that's outside of just weird stuff. Just relationships. See, relationship with Jesus is God's solution to the sin problem. Relationship with Jesus. That's the solution. Now, let me tell you what not to talk about real quick before we go. Here's what you don't talk about, and you watch Jesus. If I had time, I'd walk through the scripture with you, but he navigated away from these, and so do not, say it with me, do not. Talk about these things. Number one, don't argue. Don't argue. Anybody ever heard the phrase, Lord, said, if you'd argue with a stop sign and pull up the sign, you'd argue with a hole. Don't argue. Now, I need to let you understand why I'm going here, why this is important. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4:4 with me. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, for the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, who has blinded their eyes? The God of this world, that spirit, the enemy, Satan himself, his angels, they're at work blinding people's minds. And as you talk with them, they would love to stir something up to get you off track. And one first thing they'll try to do is get you to argue about something. Now, when the lady brought that up, when she brought it up, Jesus just talked to the hand. I'm not going there. And he just gently navigated around, never addressed the issue that she brought up. Refused to argue with her. Totally. All right, the second thing is don't talk about race. Don't talk about the race issue at all. Now, she brought up, she says, the woman was surprised, for the Jews refused in verse 9 to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And so she said to Jesus, if you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, why are you asking me for a drink? Now, if he'd respond, he'd go, well, let me talk to you about the Jews and Samaritans and tell you why. He just told it. He talked to the hand. He never went there. Went totally around it. Totally around it. It's one of those barriers that the enemy loves to use to create fog. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about race. It's not about any of the other stuff. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. As simple as that. And I'm not getting off track into anything else. And so you gingerly, the Bible says you're wise as a serpent. Don't go there. The next one is this. Do not talk about gender. Me being a Samaritan woman and you being a Jewish male, what are you asking me? You don't talk to me. You play us down. You got all this stuff going on. Nope. Never went there. Let's keep this thing on what it's about. This is about a soul that's in a human being. I don't really care if you're male or female. Doesn't matter to me. Because this is about your eternity and your destiny. And I'm not going to shallow out by getting into stuff that's not the real stuff. But I'm telling you, people try to suck you into all kind of stuff and make it about something else instead of letting it be about the main issue. And the next reason is this, and that is the reason itself. Just a certain reasoning, when people start going there, you just can't. You start talking to somebody about thirsty, and they look back at you and say, let me ask you this, were there really dinosaurs on this earth? Certain reasoning, friends, you just don't buy. Hey, talk to the hand. There's a lot we can talk about dinosaurs sometime later, but this is not about dinosaurs right now. You know, this is about what's going on with you. Stay away from, there's a certain kind of reason that you got to just stay away from. And the last one is this, stay away from religion. How many of you have seen just all kind of religious arguments about everything in the world? They don't ever get solved. Don't go there. You can't solve them. What you got to do is trust the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, who wants to make that connection. You remember I said to you that Jesus is the solution to the sin problem with God, okay? Religion is a man's solution to the problem. It's not a God solution, but it's religion. Instead of trying your best to get you on religious stuff, don't go there at all. Just don't go. Let me show you a verse real quick. Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are, say it with me, unprofitable and useless. See, this is about making a conversation profitable and useful. And so when you list these three things, look at it. Genealogy is race. Contentions is gender. Strivings about the law is religion. Stay away from them. Avoid these things. Let me tell you a true story that I heard a pastor tell. He went to buy a car. And when he went to buy a car, he said it was out of the ordinary. It was a strange thing because he went to buy a car. He had that to happen. Just a salesman, just something perked up about the salesman. And so he waited for several months. He bought the car and waited for several months after he bought the car. And then he called the salesman up and told the salesman, he said, Sam, I want to tell you, you really did a good job, you know, selling me that car. You didn't try to rip me off. You didn't try to manipulate me. You really wanted me to find the right car that would be the right one for me. And you just really served me well. I want you to know that. And do you ever think we could do lunch sometime together? So I said, sure. So a little bit of time went by, and so he called him up and said, you know, Sam, I'm going to be in the area, and I wonder if we can have lunch. He said, sure. So he took him out to lunch, and he asked him, he said, asked the pastor, he said, what do you do? And then the guy told him, he said, well, I'm a pastor. And he says, oh. He said, can I tell you a story? And the pastor said, sure. He said, when I was a young boy, I became friends with the pastor's son. And he said, my family never went to church. And so when I started hanging out with him, I started going to his dad's church. And I loved church. I loved worship. I loved church. It was all new to me. And it was just, it's the most wonderful thing that I've ever experienced. And he said, and one afternoon, he said, we just did the stupidest thing. He said, I really can't even tell you why. He said, it wasn't my idea, his idea. Somehow together we were in there and we were in the classroom and we just vandalized the classroom. We just messed it all up. And he said, just a stupid thing to do. But again, I cannot tell you why. It's just crazy. He said, then next Sunday when I was at church, the pastor called me up front and called me on the stage. And he stood there beside me and told the congregation that I was a bad influence on his son and that I had caused his son to do things in the classroom and to vandalize the room. And then this car salesman looked back at the pastor and he says, and then that pastor said to the congregation as I stood beside him, this is a bad boy. And he said to the son, to the boy, he said, and you need to leave this place and never come back. And he said, I never have. Then the pastor said to him, he said, Sam, you know how I told you that you were a really good salesman? But you didn't manipulate me, you didn't try to trick me. You tried to give me a good deal and give me a good car that I wanted. He said, yeah. He said, do you know there are bad salesmen? He said, oh yeah, I know that. He said, well, Sam, let me tell you, there are good preachers, but that man was a bad preacher. And he said, you know, when I came in to buy this car, I had no idea that something more important than me buying this car was at stake, and that God was searching for you. And then, friends, God alerted him. I need you. I got somebody far from me. And I need somebody who gets it, who can change a little, who must go somewhere, not know exactly all why. But my son is lost. Will you join with me and see if we can't get him back? Man looked back at the pastor and he said, can I come to your church? He said, oh, I'd love for you to come to my church. First Sunday he came, he received Christ, started to walk with the Lord. Let me just tell you, you have on the Engel scale that we use, that we gave out with you guys, and most of you, I hope you have them and you keep them. There are people who are far, far from God. And we are of a culture now where there is a lot of people who never been raised in church. They really have never been to church. That is a group of folks for real. And it's hard for church people to understand that exists, but it's true. Some of you work in places where you know that's true. But there's a whole nother harvest out there. And that is people like this gentleman who dumb stuff has been done to in the name of God, and who have been hurt by the church and hurt by church people, and have never now come back, and they disconnected themselves with God, and they're just waiting for somebody to come and help them bridge that gap and get reconnected. And we were going to have communion before you go. But I want to ask you, would you seriously contemplate being a person that God could count on? Because if his heart is where I know it is scripture-wise about wanting to reach people, and he's in you, then there's divine appointments for every single one of us. And I just want to ask you, would you be Christ with flesh on him for these people? It's an open communion, and so they're going to begin to pass the elements out. And as they pass them out, if you would take them and hold them, then I'll come back up in just a moment, and we'll all have communion together, okay? Let's worship as they pass out the elements.
Oh, Lord.
How many of you are you dealt with somebody that grew up in a pretty dysfunctional family and had to relearn what it means to be part of a family that didn't do and doesn't do what they grew up with? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying about, there's a lot of kids in God's family that's been hurt. And they need somebody who understands and can just be a bridge for them. And that's the reason why I appreciated what John Maxwell said as well, when he said that so many times people say to him, "Let me tell you how bad your crowd is. Let me tell you how judgmental and ugly they are." And he would say, "Oh, I know, I agree." And I'm the same way. I don't agree with it. I've been hurt. I know. But that's not the whole body of Christ. It's just like family. That's not your whole family. So you can learn to trust in a male again. You can learn to trust the female. You can learn to trust authority. You can learn this again. And so what I'd like for you to do is stand with me, if you will. And I'm going to ask you if you would, and I don't want to at all pigeonhole you into this decision, but if you're willing to do this, could we just pray a prayer together that as we take the body and the blood of Jesus, that we are reiterating that we have his heart, and that as followers of Christ followers, that for this congregation, that in the next year, 365 days, if God gives opportunity, we're going to believe for every single one of us to be able to influence at least one person to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Would that be okay? Could that be a prayer that we pray, that we start with number on this list? Lord, lead us. Lead us every day and make us sensitive every day. And if there's assignment, we will take it. And we'll be responsive. You taking a break? I want you to do two things before you eat. And we just say, thank you, God. Thank you for when I was broken, lost, out there by myself, that you found me. Thank you for that. And then would you do another thing? Would you simply pray? And now, God, for other people that I can be an influence and I can reach, would you use me to reach them? And I ask you to at least reach one person this next year and influence for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, would you take and eat? Father, thank you for the blood that was shed for us and the removal of guilt, shame, and all the other stuff that the blood cleansed from us. And we celebrate today and we say thank you for it. We rejoice in it. And we just say, God, use us now to help get the shame and the guilt off of other people. In Jesus' name, amen. You take and drink. Pass your containers to the end of the hour, would you? And let's worship together.